Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his.
I don't even have a joke, Dave. Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Donate. We'll get a drunk history out to you before the end of the month. You got the bonus cast with Jim Gleason on Sunday night. You donate for that, you got it. So please make a donation. We're going to have the schedule for Drunk History 2018, and we'll start the drive for that in November. So do it. Oh, my God. That's Kevin Held's music. He is back because Adrian Peterson is gone. Kevin, where were you when you heard the news that Adrian Peterson was bye-bye?
I know I was sitting down somewhere. I don't know if I was sitting on my couch or sitting on the toilet, but suddenly I just saw a bunch of tweets just started coming in. And the first one I saw was one of those. It looked like an official report, and I thought, this looks too good to be true. This is probably like one of those A Darn Schefter type accounts. And then I started seeing it get retweeted or reported from other people, and yeah, I was stunned. I was legitimately stunned that the team traded him.
My Twitter mentions went berserk. People were like, is he coming back?
Yeah, I saw a lot of that. It was very nice.
It was very nice of the people. Are you surprised that it didn't even last till Halloween?
Yes. I thought the team was going to hang on to him for a year, the full year, and I thought it was just going to be like an absolute disaster. Like, he would just get at most 7 carries a game and finish the season with like a total of like 400 yards or some awful number like that, and maybe just a couple of touchdowns, and then he would leave.
The only downside to the trade, they should have done it a week earlier, because we really needed you for the Miami coach doing coke. That's a Kevin Held right down the middle fastball, and we needed you for it.
Right, like that's why I'm on the show, not for game analysis. And oh, by the way, I didn't watch the game yesterday because I was actually wrestling yesterday.
Did you win?
So, like, that's why, you know, I should have been there for the coke discussion. I should have been there for a lot of discussions y'all had. But,
here's a question. Then we'll get to the.
So, hold on. Kevin, are you back? Like, are you going to start podcasting again? Are you back? I understand if you have an obligation with wrestling, but otherwise, are you finding a way to watch the Saints games on Sundays? Like, where are we?
Are you going to be back?
So, like, if I'm wrestling, obviously, if I'm wrestling, then no. If I'm not wrestling, then yes, I will find a way to watch the game.
Come on, people. Start a GoFundMe page and get this man Sunday ticket.
No, listen, nobody needs to get me Sunday ticket. I'll go to a place that has Sunday ticket and I'll watch it from there.
And you're back on the podcast?
Back. He's back.
Yes, I'll be back on the podcast.
All right.
As long as they're Monday night, I should be back.
Nice.
Welcome back.
So, before we get to
welcome
the Saints
back,
game,
welcome
was,
back,
I
welcome
don't know,
back.
Kevin, I think you liked the tweet. I think it's the greatest T-shirt that I've ever seen in the history of the world. A Dolphin fan at the Atlanta Falcons game had a T-shirt, and it said, our coach does blow, your coach blows 28-3 leads. and it had a and it had a picture of the Dolphin coach doing the bumps with the $20 bill. Is it the greatest sports T-shirt ever? I feel like it is.
It's up there. It's top three.
I mean, Andrew, you'd buy that. I'd buy that shirt.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy it for 30.
Dave, you could buy that T-shirt and sell out of it in a week.
As for the actual game that the Saints got to 3-2 for the first time in 1,000 days, the Saints were the first time they're over 500. Andrew,
is that literally the number? Has it really been 1,000 days?
Like, it was like 1,010 days that they had been since they had been over 500.
You people have too much time on your
hands.
We
do. But Andrew,
God, imagine what it's been like for the Browns.
No, dude. Kevin, the Browns were 6-2 in 2014 with Brian Hoyer at quarterback. So, I mean, like,
did they make the playoffs?
No, they collapsed and finished 7-9.
Oh, nice.
They're the Browns, Andrew.
Andrew,
I don't remember the Browns being 6-2.
Brown,
that's,
I mean,
crazy.
Andrew, yesterday, top five craziest game of the Sean Payton era. I feel like yesterday was fucking bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, so the Giants, like the 52-49 game was insane, but that was like seesaw the whole way. Like, that was never comfortable.
Yeah.
For the Saints to be up 45-10 and then one play after another. I mean, Dave, you were in the dome, right?
Yep.
Like, what was the, I'm just curious what the vibe was like inside the dome when it was, when that pick six happened and it was a 7-point game and then we punted.
Well, to start the game, I mean, on Detroit's first series, obviously, was the sack, fumble, and the touchdown. And, I mean, everybody was freaking out. Everybody was very excited. You know, it was like 2011 all over again. And of course, you know, things just kept getting better and better all through the first half. I brought my son again, for the second game of the year. And, you know, he wanted to leave early. You know, he was ready to go. Can we go? Can we go? I want to go home. And I'm like, no. We gotta stay.
You're not bringing him to the next game, are you?
No, I promised I was going to bring somebody else to the Chicago game. But and of course, sure enough, you
weird.
Know, they get the punt return. They bring the punt return back. You know, that first interception by Drew Brees, which was a bullshit call. That was absolute bullshit. And I'm thinking like, no, I was using it as a teachable moment for my son, saying, no, this is exactly why you never leave the game, because Dylan, this is your first real lesson as a Saints fan. Like, no game for the Saints is ever, safe until the clock is 0000. And sure enough, they started coming back, and I was like, look, this is why we can't leave. Like, the, you know, and he was looking at the score. He thought it was so cool that they just kept scoring and the number kept going up and up and up.
I felt more secure the Dolphins game when it was 13-0 than I felt with Detroit when it was 45-31. But Kevin,
and Kevin, people freaked out. I think probably the climax was probably Cam Jordan's interception that really sealed the deal. I mean, I know
I didn't feel that safe even after that.
Oh, yeah. No, after that, it was fine. But, I mean, I think that was probably the climax and probably the most exciting thing. Because, I mean, you know, that the defense needed to make a play. And it was, like, unbelievable that they actually stepped up and made a play. I mean, it's very unusual for the Saints defense to really come through when you actually need them to come through. I mean, that was, again, that was something that really hasn't happened since.
Give special teams some credit too. I mean, that Morstead punt was ridiculous.
Early in the game.
Kevin, Kevin, what's less likely of these three events happened in the last week? The Saints traded Adrian Peterson. The Saints scored three defensive touchdowns, and Atlanta blew a 17-0 lead against the Dolphins at home in their stadium where you could literally, you could audibly hear "Let's go Dolphins" in the fourth quarter.
As much as I'd like to bag on the Falcons on this one, the fact that the Saints got three defensive touchdowns in the same game, like that just, that, I don't, this is one of those things.
It was Jonathan Vilma in 2012.
I mean, honestly, this is one of those things where I would take that as a signal that there's a glitch in the matrix.
I mean,
Atlanta blowing leads, you know, that.
The glitch.
Right. I mean, Atlanta blowing leads, you know, nothing new. I mean, the fact that it's the Jay Cutler is maybe a little more tantalizing and fun.
little more tantalizing? I mean, that was a lot of tantalizing.
And that the team that beat him, their coaches were doing lines of coke the week before.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. They the new offensive line coach for the Dolphins, they didn't give up a sack. So if your offensive line coach doesn't do blow, it helps the on the field product, which was surprising.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? Dave, I feel like the Saints defense having to make the stop at the end of the game actually makes me feel better about the defense than I probably would have if they had just coasted in and won like 45-20. I feel like that if that's the Saints of 2014, 2015, or 2016, I don't care if Matthew Stafford was on the half-yard line. He would have gone 99 yards, and it would have been 45-45. And Drew Brees would have been getting the ball with a minute and 10 left, having to drive down and kick a field goal to win that game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think the Saints would have won that game if it wasn't for the defense. I mean, the Lions have a very good offense. The Lions have always been able to put up tons of points against the Saints. So, if I told you before the game that the Lions were going to score 38 points against the Saints, you probably would have been like, that sounds about right.
If you had told you Drew Brees was going to have two interceptions, you'd have been like, ooh.
but the fact that, they just happened to get all those points in the second half. The Lions just kind of came out flat. The offense just kind of came out flat in the beginning. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that the Saints were gonna, you know, keep the Lions to 10 points for an entire game.
Andrew, who's the defensive line coach for the Saints? Because I think the Saints batted 150 balls of Matt Stafford's.
I know Brian Young is the pass rush coordinator. God, who's the defensive line coach?
He's from NC State, I know that.
He's not going to make... Oh, yeah, is it the new guy?
Yeah, it's the new guy. But, I mean, they batted a shit...
To replace Bill Johnson.
Yeah, I've never seen in any game so many batted balls.
Well, you know, it was smart...
There's a joke in there somewhere, held. I swear to God, I say batted balls over and over and over. Continue.
I think it was smart because if you look at the history of the Saints and Detroit most recently, and you just look at if you watch enough tape of Matt Stafford, he's really hard to sack, mostly because the ball comes out so quickly, but the delivery, you know, his arm angles are pretty low. So, he's a nice sized quarterback, but even so, I think
a lot of shit.
Yeah, he's a guy that if you get in the throwing lanes, if you get your hands up, you can bat passes. And so I think the Saints did a good job of being like, listen, we're not going to get to this guy. He gets the ball out too quickly and he's out of the shotgun a lot. So he'll go one step drop and throw the ball. And they were ready for that. They were getting their hands up. And so I think the Saints did a good job of watching tape, educating their players and executing. And I think it ended up, they were getting their hands up so much that it was disrupting Stafford's throwing lanes and his ability to get the ball out quickly. And so it actually ended up leading to sacks, which was funny.
Kevin, if you didn't have your cell phone on you and I had $1,000 in front of me and I said, name the backup quarterback for the Packers, could you do it?
No. Absolutely not. And frankly,
Ryan Nielsen.
Wait, what, say that name again.
Ryan Nielsen.
Okay, that either sounds like the guy who replaced Joel in Mystery Science Theater 3000, or that sounds like one of the Beach Boys.
He's Leslie Nielsen's younger nephew. From the
Oh, okay. Well, good for him. Good for him.
Not really.
Actually, I tell you what. You know who the backup for the Green Bay Packers perhaps should have been? Colin Kaepernick.
Here we go.
Let's see America spin their way out of this one.
I'm going to play a snap for an NFL team this year before Kaepernick does.
Right.
But, I mean,
Rodgers is
only if you throw with your bad arm.
My bad arm.
Totally fucked.
I mean, but the offense, Dave, they were kind of ass in the second half.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, they were kind of ass for the whole game.
That's putting it mildly.
I mean, they were kind of ass for the whole game. I think they only had like
no, they were not. Brian Pavick was saying this too. How can you say they were ass in the first half? It was 31-0. They scored 31 points.
No, they went field.
How many third downs did they get? 24. They went
2-12 on third down, but they went field after the first possession. They went field goal, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
I mean, yeah, like what more do you want?
Like I mean, but the second half was a different story. And
yeah, they came out flat.
In the first half, the Lions had no answer for Ted Ginn. None.
I started him in fantasy. Yay me. I cut Adrian Peterson on Monday, though. So it's a given.
I mean, Ingram had a 52-yard run. Kamara had some plays. I mean, the offense was clicking in the first half.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, obviously, what was the score at the end of the first half? 31-10?
Yeah, yep.
And then
in the third quarter, so then they got the pick six, and then they went down and they scored another touchdown.
But then
their offense was rolling even early into the third quarter.
I'm sure
45-10. They could not get a first down after 45-10. Like, they could not even get a first down.
All right. And I mean, I'm sure that they adjusted their play calling slightly when you've got a 30-whatever point lead.
But honestly, not getting a first down, like, that wouldn't have – even that wouldn't have been enough to make it close. It was the three turnovers.
Yeah.
And the return.
And we can go back to the whole Michael Thomas pick, which I agree with you, Dave. I mean,
maybe
they just have to go
help
on the field, but that was awful. He caught the ball, there was clear contact, and then he rips the ball out after he's on the ground. That to me is how can that be a pick?
I totally forgot to ask you this, Kevin. Adrian Peterson, the Saints get a conditional six, and I guess it improves as he does, the better he does with Arizona. So are you torn because you are Mr. Trade Down, acquire draft picks? Will you root for Adrian Peterson to do well with the Cardinals to get a better pick?
I am preemptively answering your question with no. You can stop asking it. The answer is no.
But what about
that we got a draft pick? The fact that we got a draft pick at all. The fact that we got a draft pick in the NFL draft and not the Canadian Football League draft for Adrian Peterson is fine enough for me. It could have literally been, we will give you Tree City and a year's worth of golfing in Phoenix, and I would have been fine with that.
$2.7 million
The franchise gets an actual draft pick.
$2.7 million is a lot to pay for.
Take that draft pick. And listen, if the child beater ends up, doing really well and the team gets a better draft pick for it, fine. Whatever.
But you won't root for it.
No, absolutely not. I will not. I personally hope any defensive tackle or linebacker watches a bunch of footage of Arn Anderson giving spine busters, and the second they see Peterson in their sights, they lay him out with a spine buster.
Oh my God, he killed him! So back to the Saints. I had to get that in because I totally forgot that at the top, but it was important to get Kevin's opinion because I knew it would rile him up. But, I mean, Andrew, the Saints are kind of ass on third down for five games by their standards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they, I know they like, we're working on it, we're feeling, but I mean, 2-12 is like shitty, and the Saints are usually like 45-50%, and they're not near that this year.
I mean, I think last year weren't they the best in the league on third down?
They were.
So like
certainly one of.
So like if we can be excited about the defense and believe the defense is real, and we can believe Kamara is real, and all these good things, like the bad things, is that how it's going to be the whole year? You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the silver lining is the offensive line's healthy. And, you know, I know Streif's out, but I think Ramczyk has shown that he's good enough that, you know, it's not a major drop-off. So the offensive line's getting healthy, and Armstead played well. So that's a good sign. You know, I think the running game is working. Kamara and Ingram showed. I mean, they almost had 200 yards rushing. Willie Snead's back. I think it's going to take a little time to get him – incorporated into the offense. He looked a little out of sync with Breeze. But yeah, I mean, I still just haven't been too impressed by the Saints passing. And Breeze to me did not have a very good game. That's probably the one guy on that offense, especially that I would say was pretty
Breeze
poor.
Breeze was surly after the game. Like he was like not really cheery in interviews and he was still looking at pictures as they were, the teams were like, going in the, you know, the Saints are.
It was painful, man. It was painful to see them struggle not to get a first down. And, you know, I mean, it gets to a point. I really think I said this partially yesterday, but I really think when you go up 45-10, I mean, there was so much time left. There was like 10 minutes left in the third quarter. And when you're up 45-10, guys just psychologically, they go into, okay, don't get hurt. You know, like, let's shut it down. They're smiling, they're laughing, they're joking on the sidelines. They feel like they've got the game in the bag. You lose intensity. And I think it's really hard once you've hit that place psychologically to go back to, oh shit, we might lose this game. We got to turn it on again. Like, it's just really hard to do that. And so I just think those guys were in self-preservation mode. And I do think they'll come out next week. You know, Breeze will challenge him. Sean Payton will challenge him. And I expect the offense to come out and start well against the Packers.
Hey, Kevin, is this true or false? The New York Jets are better on third down than the New Orleans Saints. True or false?
See, my initial inclination is to say true because that just sounds hilarious. But there's a part of me that just says you're throwing that out there just to get me to say true. I'm going to say false.
You are wrong. The Jets are better. They are 13th. They are 40% on third down. The Saints are 37%. And this is the final one. Dave, true or false, the Cincinnati Bengals are better on third down than the New Orleans Saints?
True.
That is false. They are 24th. But Buffalo, the Colts without Andrew Luck, the Bills, the Texans, the Chargers, they're all better than the Saints on third down. Just that's a sort of a – I wouldn't say it's a blinking red light, but it's a little bit of a warning signal. Dave, the Saints had a little splash report on the Sunday mornings that they had traded for Navarro Bowman, and he told the 49ers to go fly a fucking kite that he didn't want to go, so they didn't do the trade and released him. So what does that tell you about the Saints as far as what they think about their roster, linebacker, and does it signal that Mickey Loomis YOLO mode is been initiated?
I was surprised to hear it. I mean, I don't think the linebacker play has been that bad, to be honest with you. It's probably been better this year than it has been.
Well, Anzalone was just put on IR, though.
In quite some time. Yeah, I mean, Navarro Bowman, he's older, right? I mean, he's been around a while.
He's not young. And his knees are
so
sturdy.
You know, I don't... You know... Yeah, to be honest with you, I was surprised. I was definitely surprised. I'm surprised to see them making this many moves. We're not deep into the season, but we're into the season. And I mean, they've already traded Peterson. They're looking at trading to acquire a linebacker. I feel like they don't really usually make that many in-season moves.
They traded Stephon Anthony.
Was that during the season?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. See, I mean, there you go. I feel like
Kevin, they're going to have seven. They've been more active than they usually are. They're going to have a full complement of picks this year. They're going to have like seven draft picks. They traded away the one for Kamara, but they got two coming back. They're going to have, they'll have eight. They have eight picks.
Would they get for Anthony a fifth?
A fifth.
Yeah.
They have eight.
And it's looking like a sixth for Peterson.
They gave away a seventh for.
They were going to give away a seventh for Bowman, but it didn't work out.
Yeah. No, but I thought there was somebody else earlier that they gave away a seventh for.
So, and then Stupar's out for the year. So who, Andrew? Who's the likely move if Stupar's, since Stupar's gone? Who are they going to bring back? Is it going to be Mons?
Well, they just called up Adam Big Hill, and you know he can play special teams a little
bit.
That's
not, I mean, Andrew. That's got to be fake news. I was told in the summer that he would never ever. Ever clear waivers. That's fake news.
He not only has he cleared waivers, he's cleared waivers like four times now. but Michael Motti's the guy they could bring back potentially to play special teams and kind of fill Stupar's role. But, you know, they were looking at Kyrie Robinson today. You know, they can – I think the Saints kind of have the luxury right now. They don't need another backup linebacker because they have Big Hill and they just signed Hodges and they have Manti Te'o. So I think it's really just about who helps the roster best right now. And if they feel like they need a running back in there to replace Peterson, maybe Robinson makes sense. Depends on his workout, of course. So there's a lot of different ways they could go with this. But, you know, I think they have to be careful about special teams. Now, they just gave up a punt return for a touchdown. So I think – when you lose a guy like Stupar, who's so critical to your special teams, and you lose a guy like Anzalone, who forces Robertson to play, that takes another linebacker away from your special teams that's a pretty critical special teams core guy. So, you know, they got to be careful here. And, I mean, I don't know, Michael Motti seems like it makes sense to maybe bring him back.
Kevin, I was in a blind rage today at work because I was reading about how LSU was given attaboys and plaudits and singing the praises of Greg McMahon, the Saints ex-special teams coach, because LSU ran a punt back to help them beat Auburn, and they were making Greg McMahon seem like a motherfucking genius when I don't even know what he did with the Saints. They're saying that he comes in at 4 a.m.
Wait, but Greg McMahon is special teams for LSU?
He's a consultant for LSU.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
So, Kevin, I feel like there's a confluence of events that is happening. So, this is the question I was going to ask you, then the Greg McMahon thing popped in my head. Atlanta had the 17-0 choke and the choke against New England in the Super Bowl. They play New England again this Sunday night. Before we get to the Saints and Green Bay, what can happen to Atlanta this Sunday to just destroy their season, burn their season to the ground? Because that's what I want.
I honestly think another game where the Patriots come back, it doesn't have to literally be like an overtime scenario where the Patriots have never led except for the last play, but something where the Patriots are trailing in the fourth and they go right down the field and score the decisive, get the game winner. And yeah, I think blowing a prime, are they in prime time?
They are
Sunday night.
Yep. Is Al Michaels going to call the game? Did he get suspended for
beautiful,
his Harvey?
Beautiful. If they blow a primetime game against the Patriots. Are they in Atlanta again?
No. Foxborough.
Oh, man. But still, blowing a primetime game, I would love that. I think that would be better than seeing the Patriots just, you know, drop 40 on them and half the game put away by halftime.
The funny thing was, all the Atlanta people, when the Saints beat the Dolphins, were like, that's adorable. The Saints think they're back because they beat the trash Dolphins. And then they coughed up a 17-point lead, and people were finding the old Falcon fans' tweets and retweeting them Sunday. It was just magnificent.
It was beautiful.
Because tweets are forever unless you delete them. You know, and the funny thing is, there's a
who was that? What's her name? Jenna Thomas,
yeah.
Or what's
yeah,
her name?
Gianna Thomas or whatever.
Oh, that was hilarious.
She really should have deleted that tweet the minute
she
that
probably
Ryan
forgot about
threw that pick in the fourth quarter. You got to go back and delete that junk.
Yeah, even Donald Trump goes back and deletes tweets. You know, come on, you got to get the app out there. Andrew, you know, Cam Jordan, we've always said he's really good. He's a Pro Bowl player. He doesn't get enough recognition because the Saints defense sucks. But he's on pace for 15 plus sacks, and is it like his sack where he literally just pushed the offensive tackle of Detroit into Stafford like a fucking bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
Was just magnificent. He'll never be defensive MVP. He could get 25 sacks. He'll never be defensive MVP. Because they just will not give it to a guy on the Saints for defensive. I just believe that. But, like, can he be first team All-Pro?
Yeah, he could be. Let's see. Let's look at the NFL sack leaders.
He's like
let's
eight see. Or nine because the leaders got, like, eight. They have a bunch of people, like Bosa and some dude's got 8.5. The dude for the Cowboys has 8.5.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Good Lord. So, oh, yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence. Is no one blocking him?
I don't know. You'd think so. Cause the
Julius Peppers has 6.5?
Yeah.
What is that?
He's like 100 years old.
I know. I can't believe he's still playing.
Calais Campbell has 8 sacks.
Wait, he's on the Jaguars now? Jeez.
Cameron Jordan doesn't have more sacks than Akeem Hicks. They both have 5.
Wow.
Yeah, you know... Well, I didn't realize how many sacks there were in the league this year. It's great to see. I really think Cam Jordan's on pace to have a career year. And I said that yesterday. And I just think he just gets so overlooked that it would be nice. I think we're starting to see with just a semblance of a pass rush from the edge on the other side and decent corners, just how ridiculously good this guy is. And he deserves it, so I'm glad to see it.
Before we get to the Twitter questions, which are, I think there are a lot of questions for Kevin, since people expected him to be back, which should be fun.
Making me feel like the bell of the ball here.
What?
Yeah, I have no idea what he just said.
I have no idea. Kevin, you sound like you're talking out of a hole.
I said, making me feel like I'm the bell of the ball here.
You are the bell.
You absolutely, you are the bell.
You
of the
are
ball.
The bell of the ball. So
you're leaving glass slippers all over the place.
Was it?
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah. I'm not going near that.
I don't even get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the first question, Kevin. What did you do? How did you spend the first 4 Saints Sundays? That's from Joseph.
Getting laid, probably.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Did you
How is that?
Did you like pick apples? Did you?
No. I mean, just spend. If I wasn't wrestling on a Sunday, and I think I only wrestled one time on one of those weekends. The other time, just spending quality time with my girlfriend, and that's
how much football did you watch? How much football did you watch?
My girlfriend.
How much football did you watch the first four weeks of the NFL season? Over under 10 minutes.
Oh, under. Easily under.
That's the best.
Easily under. Like, grand total. Like, Like, seriously, the only highlights I saw were GIFs on my phone when I was scrolling down Twitter.
Can we wait?
That's it.
I have two questions, and then I'll hang up and listen. one, can we get an update on your girlfriend? And two, was this past weekend? I've been following you on Facebook. Was this past weekend the first time that your parents were meeting your girlfriend?
So I'll answer the second question first. Yes, my parents visited. This was their first time meeting her. My parents got to see me wrestle, and my girlfriend was there. She'd seen me wrestle once before. My parents had seen me wrestle previously, but it had been a while. So yeah, so they, you know, they met her on Friday night, and then, we saw each other on Saturday and then yesterday. So they saw her and talked her arm off for three days, and it's a colloquialism, Andrew.
How many times did your dad ask you if you had ESPN or not?
He's asked me every single day that he's been here. He said, "Do you have ESPN? Do you have Fox Sports One? What do you have on this thing?" I said, "Dad, it's antenna." So you don't have Fox Sports 1? No. and no ESPN either? No. Well, how do I know what channel the game's on? Well, you have a smartphone, Dad. Well, how do I know what the score is? Dad, you have a smartphone. So I'm in the car with him. Hang on. I'm in the car with him last night, and I've got it on the ESPN radio in the car. But then he immediately says, "Oh man, how do I get the what game?" He was asking about the Cubs and the Dodgers, and all I heard was that there was baseball on the radio. So I turned the radio down or whatever, just so I could like think. And I go into my phone, pull up the score of the Cubs and the Dodgers, give it to him, and I turn back on the sports radio, and it's literally Cubs and Dodgers, top of the sixth, and I'm like, "Wait a minute. You asked me for the Cubs and the Dodgers and made me check it on my phone despite the fact that we were just listening to it on the radio in the car."
Oh, boy.
And he goes, I thought it was the Astros and the Yankees. Said they're playing tomorrow. So that all day today, he's been, "Oh, the Dodgers are the Astros, the Yankees aren't playing today, right?" No, they are playing today. We covered that the day before.
How old is your father?
He's 73.
That's not that old. Let's see, more questions.
Yeah, my poor mother, she can't hear anything. So whenever he asks a question, she looks at him and just goes, "What?" And then he has to repeat himself. And then he can't say the correct words for things that he needs or wants. So he ain't speaking clearly, and she don't hear him anyway. They're perfect for each other.
Oh my God, that's my future, probably.
Some dark shit, bro.
Andrew, David asks, over under Marshawn Lattimore picks versus blown 17-point Atlanta leads, and which is more glorious?
All right, over under Marshawn Lattimore picks versus Falcons blown leads.
Yeah, so they've each had one.
Yeah, they've each had one. I'd say the over under is 4
for Lattimore picks.
Yeah. And I'd say it's also 4 for blown leads.
I mean, Atlanta's one. Atlanta is one more blown lead from their season going kaboom. They really are. And I asked people to do describe five in five words the Saints 3-2 start. David said, "Looking, eventually finding a unicorn," which I like.
I mean, by the way, Lattimore is ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's a rookie and he's playing like that. I mean, he's arrived. He has arrived. He is already a number one corner. He's awesome. He's everything we hoped he would be. he's a Saint for the next 5 years at least. And I don't know what else to say. Put him in the Pro Bowl now.
I mean, listen, teams are retarded. I mean, you look at Kevin, look, we did the whole, you know, trade down and that whole thing in the draft. But if you look at the draft this year and you look at what Cleveland and San Francisco and Jacksonville and the Bengals, and look at what those teams passed on, it is fucking retarded. I mean, for Cleveland and San Francisco not to pick Deshaun Watson, like, their general managers, they might need to be taken out to the middle of the ocean and just dropped off. Looking at the Jets picked Jamal Adams, Tennessee picked Corey Davis, Cincinnati picked John. Kevin, that is some bad fucking drafting. Forget trade down and all that nonsense. I mean, teams are just fucking being like, I don't know. Let me put it this way. Is Cleveland ever going to win?
Very eloquent, Ralph.
It is very eloquent. I just feel like Deshaun Watson is awesome in Houston, and like, I watched that dude in college. He was fucking awesome, and all these fucking quarterback gurus and the Irish dude that has a pamphlet, he's like, I watched a game and a half of Watson. He's trash. Like, I feel like this year's draft was just one of the, like, some of the worst mistakes ever. Am I wrong to think that? Anybody can jump in.
No.
You know, so, let's see. We had some more questions for Kevin. Let's see. This is from David. He says, this is from Cajun Alaskan. He said, believing stripper actually loves you. That's mean, Cajun. 3-2. Here's the thing, though. Like, the Saints, when they start out good under Peyton, they don't collapse. Have the Saints ever had a good start under Peyton and not finished in the playoffs? I don't think so, Andrew. Have they? Like,
2008, didn't they? I mean, they kind of started okay. No?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
I'm looking it up. Let's see. The 2008 Saints started. They started 1-2. They beat Tampa. They lost at Washington. They coughed up a 10-point lead. They lost at Denver because Gramatica missed a field goal. Then they beat San Francisco, and they got to six. They were 6-5. So, yeah. And 7.
I mean, they still had everything to play for at 6-5 before kind of.
Yeah, but they didn't like collapse though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So.
Well, they finished 7-9, right?
8-8.
8-8.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, so let's see. Got any more questions? Feels better than a Q-tip. That's from John. I don't know what that means. Oh, name the next team the Saints.
Sticking a Q-tip in your ear. It feels good.
Kevin, this is from Dylan. Name the next, or Dave, name the next team the Saints will lose to.
Okay, what, they play Green Bay and then Chicago and then who? Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Tampa Bay is awful.
I mean, those three games are totally winnable. And I only say Green Bay, obviously, because of, the Aaron Rodgers situation. Who do they play after Tampa Bay?
The Rams?
Yeah, I could see them losing to the Rams. We always lose to the Rams.
Yeah.
And this year, they're actually not terrible. Even when the Rams are the worst team in the league, they still beat the Saints.
No, they play the Packers, Bears, Buccaneers, Bills, Redskins, then the Rams.
Oh. The Bills, definitely they could lose to the Bills.
Yeah, that's a November game. That could be cold and shit.
The Bills have a pretty good, but still, I mean, that means the Saints are what? 6-2?
Yeah. Oh God, 6-2, Jesus. My heart is beating fast. The Todd Newberg says Gatorade and Popeyes in January. Let's see. I think that's all the questions. All right. So, I know you people aren't as gambling degenerate as me, but this Packer.
I don't think anybody is.
I'm not as degenerate as I was, because now I have a kid that I have to pay for. And I can't just burn money gambling on sports. But if you would have, you could have bet the Packers against the Saints last Monday in Vegas. The Packers were favored by 6.5. Today, Kevin, the Saints are favored by 6. So the line 12 is 12.5 point swing.
Jesus.
So, Kevin, the line is smooth 12.5 to the Saints' favor. So this is going to be your first game you're going to watch. Is it all year? Did you watch any of the preseason games?
No, I have not. No. It's preseason? Get out of here.
Preseason?
Talking about preseason?
He wasn't watching preseason last year.
That is true. Or the year before that. You haven't watched the Saints.
Don't talk about preseason.
Saints, have you watched the preseason game since you moved away from New Orleans?
I don't think I have.
Have you watched a preseason game since you used to get paid to watch them?
No. I don't believe so.
Do people in St. Louis hate watch the Rams?
Yeah, as far as I know, there's still like specials at certain restaurants and bars where if the Rams lose a game, everybody in the establishment gets like 10% off their bill or something. And then some people will just like some places that have like multiple TVs, they'll always put the Rams game on no matter what. And for the most part, most people will cheer anytime the other team scores on them.
The weird thing with people at least in LA are supporting the Rams. Like, people don't even give a fuck about the Chargers. Like, their stadium is now filled with opposing teams fans. The little soccer stadium that they play in.
Right.
Which is just weird, because it's almost like, can an NFL team be successful and make money if they don't have any fucking fans? And the Chargers are putting that theory to the test.
Good. I hope one of these teams completely tanks in this relocation process. I hope it just is a complete and utter disaster. Anything to embarrass the NFL and to cause those pricks to lose money is A-okay by me.
Like, what is Roger, like, what does he have to do to not be commissioner? Like, how shitty does he have to run the league to get?
I think the league has to. I think the only thing that matters is whether or not the league continues to make money at the rate they make money. If they took like a 25% hit, I could totally see him being thrown out.
Man, that's...
Yep.
That'd be crazy.
About money.
The NFL, though, is like bulletproof, though, you know?
I don't think so. I think as more of this concussion shit comes out, as more of the labor stuff comes out, as more people raise more of a stink about not just the Kaepernick issue, but issues in general... that force there to be a divide between, you know, certain sides. And then you throw that on top of like the violence aspect, you throw that on top of the fact that players who actually, you know, the small number of players who actually do commit crime, like legitimate crimes, and are never really properly punished by the league or anything, and then get allowed to play and continue to make millions upon millions of dollars while the owners, fleece cities for stadiums. I think this is all coming to a head. I mean, the NFL is still going to make money. The NFL will still exist, but there will come a day where the NFL is not making billions.
I mean, the
every
thing,
year. That's coming.
Maybe it's hard for Andrew, for you and Dave. Maybe it's hard for you guys to know because you aren't running a blog day to day, so you maybe didn't know the traffic numbers and the interaction numbers. But for the Saints to be 3-2, and have won 3 in a row, like my emails and DMs and people interacting with me and comments through Channel 4 is way, way down. Like I don't know what it is, but it's way down. I don't know if it's the flag or whatever the hell it is, but something strange is going on. Like I feel like the excitement over the Saints for 3-2, it's not quite where it should be.
Yeah, but if they keep winning, I just think the other stuff will take a back seat. You know, if the story becomes the Saints are 6-2, they're 7-2. I mean, I have no idea how these games are going to go coming up, but I know the next 5 games are winnable. And if they go on a run, winning cures everything. People just want a winner,
How many games do they have to win in a row for that Mardi Gras crew to reinstate Okafor and Vaccaro as Grand Marshals?
If they win their next 5, which is feasible, and they're 8-2, I'm not sure that Vaccaro and I'm not sure that they're not co-governors of Louisiana.
So, back to the game prediction, Kevin. The Saints are favored by 6. Who you got, and who's going to be hero of the game? Was your first Saints viewing experience of the year?
They're playing at home?
No, they're playing in Green Bay.
But Aaron Rodgers is hurt. You probably don't know that.
Yeah, but yes, no, That I do know.
So are you confirming that you're going to watch this game, Kevin, for sure?
No, I am not confirming anything because it is entirely possible that I am going to be legitimately wrestling all weekend.
So, all right, so we got it sidetracked with me and Kevin bagging on Goodell, which is just fun because fuck Goodell. But, Kevin, the Saints are a 6-point favorite in Green Bay. Who you got? Who's going to be MVP or go to the game? How excited are you to finally watch a Saints game in 2017?
He's not watching it.
Dave is actually correct. There is a very high chance that I will not be able to watch this game because I will be wrestling or refereeing wrestling all weekend. So again, this is what my life is like at the moment. I will say, but that will not stop me from having an opinion.
No, never does. The hottest takes.
Yes, the hottest ill-informed takes, fortunately, about something that doesn't have any real consequence in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, so I'm gonna just come in hot and say Saints 24, Green Bay 20.
Ooh, that'll be take Green Bay in the points. MVP of the game.
I'm gonna say Kamara.
There you go, Dave. Who you got?
I think the Saints lucked out. They're catching Green Bay at the perfect time.
No shit. The Saints have been lucky the last couple of weeks. They're catching teams at the right week.
That's right, and that's what it takes in this league. I mean, you got to be good, obviously, but it does take a little bit of luck, or a lot of bit of luck, really. Obviously, they're playing Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers, but the best part is that this is the first game without Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, Green Bay is still going to be trying to kind of figure it out how they're going to handle this whole situation. So I think while they're doing that, I think the Saints are going to be able to take advantage. I will say, I don't think they're going to do 52 points again. I'm going to say Saints 27, Packers 21.
Oof. Tight.
I'm going to keep going with this until it happens. I'm going to say the Michael Thomas coming out party was delayed last week. And
you and me both, my fantasy team is killing my fantasy team.
So this week will finally be the Michael Thomas coming out party.
I have Brandon Cooks and Michael Thomas. My receivers are garbage on fantasy. Andrew, who you got? And let people know, the Green Bay could potentially be without three of their starting offensive linemen, which is another thing. The Saints catch these teams, and their offensive lines are in shambles. This is the fourth week in a row where, like, the offensive line of the team the Saints are playing is a garbage fire.
Yeah. No, I mean, and sometimes with the NFL, man, it's scheduling, it's luck, it's injuries, and I don't know. I feel like the Saints kind of landed on the Panthers at the perfect time. The Dolphins are not playing awful, but them going to London, you know, was I don't know. They just seemed off to me, and I think they played the Lions at the right time. And certainly hitting the Packers without Rodgers makes it more manageable. I still think the Packers are going to be a really tough game. I agree with Dave that it's going to be close. I think it's one of those things where, yes, Rodgers won't be there, but Mike McCarthy is a guy that's won a Super Bowl. He knows how to game plan. You remember the Saints went into Carolina, a team that made it to the Super Bowl that year without Drew Brees. They had Luke McCown at quarterback, and they found a way on a short week to kind of game plan, find a way to make McCown comfortable, get the ball out quickly, not take big risks. I think that's what you're going to see with Hundley. And I think the Packers are going to try to run the football maybe more than they have. They're going to lean on their crowd. And I think the Saints offense is sputtering a little bit. So they're going to have to be careful. I don't think this is going to come easy. I do think the Saints win 24-21 Saints. And my hero of the game will be Will Lutz, who hits a 52-yarder at the gun.
And I'm going to say this, you know, Mike McCarthy, he made Matt Flynn a shit ton of money as a backup quarterback when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Aaron Rodgers wasn't even hurt. Matt Flynn just came in and like played the last game of the year that didn't matter, and threw for like 400-something yards and got the big contract for Seattle. It didn't work out, but Matt Flynn like went back after Seattle got rid of him and was the backup quarterback for Green Bay for a little while and came in and played and Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and Matt Flynn played good, and they won games. So, and this guy that they have, Hundley, he's been there for – this is his third year, so he's in the system, so he'll know it. I think their offensive line issues are what's going to more so doom them if the game's not close. I'm going to say Saints 28, Green Bay 21, and it will be a late interception by the Saints. It'll be Marcus Williams will be the rookie that will get it done.
And I like it.
And it'll be 28-21, and the Saints will be 4-2, and we can hopefully watch Atlanta's season implode on Sunday night, so it can be a great weekend all around. Hopefully LSU can beat Ole Miss, and I won't have to hear it from my Ole Miss relatives, so it could be just a joyous weekend for me. So, Kevin, do you feel like you're back in the groove? Are you as excited as the people are to have you back?
Yes.
So for Kevin, who has returned like the prodigal son, for Andrew, for Dave, until next week, the bar is closed.